thought for today. Joy is the bubble of caring and sharing. How about that? Joy is the bubble of caring and sharing. Are you guys filled with joy?
Yep.
Yes.
Are you filled with the bubble of caring and sharing?
Yep.
Do you like to go around bringing smiles to people's faces?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Smiling.
How do you bring smiles to the faces of other people? Well, first, you have to have a smile on your own face. Oh, there are people who look at other people and they say, "You're not smiling. Come on, smile, smile." And they encourage you to smile. But that's a rare experience. How do we bring smiles to other people's faces? By having a smile on our own face. How do we bring joy and care and loving and sharing to other people? We do it to ourselves. Now, and this is not to say that you only do it to yourself. This is to say that you do it to yourself first. First, you're loving to yourself. You're caring and sharing to yourself. Now, how do you get to be loving to yourself? What would be a loving thing that you would do to yourself? Well, what would be a loving thing? A loving thing would be like saying, "I'm a happy person." That's a loving thing. A loving thing would be like saying, "I have a happy body. I have a happy mind." A loving thing would be to say, "Wherever I am happy. Wherever I am happy." Now, that's easy enough said, but can we do it? When I am in a circumstance with somebody who is going through a difficult time, and I'm saying to them, "Come on now, brighten up, smile. It's not so bad just because your car died, you know. It's not so bad just because you got to turn it in and get a new one. It's not so bad." "Yeah, but I don't have any money. I don't have this. I don't have that." I said, "Hey, when the time comes for things to happen, if you leave yourself open to it, they will just happen. When your car dies and it doesn't run anymore and it's not worth fixing, release it. And as soon as you release it, you will find that another car will come along in your life, probably far more beautiful than any car you've ever owned, and the opportunity for you to have it is yours without a problem." Now, my brother Ray had a pickup truck, and the pickup truck did exactly what he wanted it to do, except it died, and he had to have it towed away. It wasn't worth fixing it. So he said, "Gee, you know, I really miss having a car." And then I said, "Well, we have a car that we're not using. Perhaps you'd like to use it." "Oh, really? Yes, I would." And so we gave him the car. It was a Nissan. And it drove beautifully. He loved it. So we showed him how it all functioned and how it all worked. And he just said, "Wow, this is so great. I would have never dreamed that I'd have the car like this, and that this would work out so nice for me to have a car, because I really didn't have the budget to buy another car. I was all set just to take the bus and go around." And so he got the car. But for his highest good, taking the bus apparently was what he really wanted to do, because he got the car. The car is in perfect shape. The gas tank of the car is full of gas, and it runs fine. But he went in for eye examination, and he had to have some eye operations, so that meant he couldn't drive for a while. So now the car just sits there while his eyes are being worked on, and he can't have it. Now, why did he create a car for himself that he couldn't drive? Why do we create any circumstances in our life for ourselves when we can't do certain things? Well, we listen to what other people say. And we shouldn't do that. We should only listen to what we say. What is it that is what we want to do? Do we really want to have another car when our car dies? I use that as an experience. Another husband when our husband dies, another wife when our wife dies, another kid when our kid dies or something. That's kind of heavy, that sort of stuff. But a car, you can handle that pretty well. Okay. Why do we create another car in our life when we really don't want it? Why do we do that? Why do we create another man in our life when we really don't want one? Why do we create another house or another job or another world in our life when we really don't want it? At least we say that we don't. Well, the truth is known by whatever the outpicturing is, and we create the outpicturing for whatever benefit it has for us. If we create the outpicturing of a car breaking down, we can have any number of alternatives. We can take the bus, we can have other people drive us, and we can get another car, we can do any number of things. Well, now, what do you do? What do you do? What? You show by your evidence that he wanted another car, so he got another car. But he didn't really want another car because he didn't create himself driving it. Now, he still got the car, and he's still not driving it because his eye testing is not yet done. So what's he going to do? Well, let's go to another gentleman. This fellow is 86 years old, approximately. And he was driving, doing just fine, but he created himself having eye problems. Now, the doctors say he can drive well enough during the day that it's not a problem. And so he was driving. He still had years to go on his license. But he created somebody worrying about him and calling his doctor and telling them that they should tell the DMV he shouldn't drive anymore. Now, how interesting. Why would anyone create someone doing that? Oh, that's just meanness. That's just unkindness. No, it isn't. It's our creation. Did he himself rather doubt his ability to drive? Did he himself rather doubt his ability to do these things? I said to him, I said, Bill, you have always wanted a diesel pickup truck, a brand new diesel pickup truck. I said, you got the money. Go buy it right now. Right now. He said, well, I'd like to, but he didn't really want it. He just talked about a diesel truck, but he did not want it, and he didn't get it. He had the money. In fact, he had lots of money. He always lived comfortably, but frugally, and always saved. He has lots of money. Now, he's 86 years old. He could die tomorrow. He could live for another 10, 20, 30 years or whatever. And drive. But you see, when you don't believe in yourself, when you think that you're over the hill, even though you say, and he is in perfect health, he can do everything he wants to do. He is a fantastic mind. He's alert, he's crisp, he's everything. But his eyes are getting bad. And so he's naming that as his excuse for not getting the truck that he didn't want. He's naming that as an excuse for not getting the car that he didn't want. He's naming that as the excuse, now this may come as a flash in the pan for you, he's naming that as an excuse for not being next to the church that he and his wife had built throughout their years and operating the church. Now, his nephew is buying a mobile home for him down in the city, 70, 80 miles away. And they said, we will drive you up to church for Sunday and for the weekday services. I can see that happening. In the beginning, perhaps, but not every single week. Every single week. Every single week. Bill lived right next door to his job. He had a job. He was the caretaker for a several thousand acre ranch with lakes on it and so forth, right next to his front door, right next to his front door. And he could just walk over there and look at the grounds, and it gave him purpose in life. And he had a lot of fun. He had a salary too, but that wasn't the important thing, because he didn't need that. But it gave him purpose. Now he's moving to the city. Do you think perhaps he wants to give up? Do you think perhaps he doesn't want to be out there and do that job and continue living alone? Do you think perhaps he just wants to make this change? Well, it appears very obvious, doesn't it, that that's what he wants. He is creating all the, he could tell his nephew, hey, thank you very much, but no thank you. I'm staying up here. I can afford it. I will hire a housekeeper, someone to babysit me if that's what I think I need. I can do this or that or anything I want to do. He could hire one of the local boys or girls that live in the neighborhood and pay them to come over and fix his breakfast and clean his house for him and then go on to school or whatever they do, because he doesn't need them around the house all day. But just someone to look in and care. But it could just be some young person who would like to earn a little extra money there, and jobs up there are not too easy to come by. He could do any number of things, but he didn't. He didn't. Because, you see, when you give in and you give up and you give out, then soon passing comes. Now, it's not a bad thing for him to die. It's not a bad thing for him to live. But if you have no motivation for living, and when all of your desires are gone for living, then you give up. My mother, she was 74, I think, and yeah, 74. And she was taking her driver's test, and she didn't pass. She didn't park exactly right, the way they wanted her to park. She had been driving for years and years and years. Never an accident, never a problem, but she had a little trouble with parking. So they told her, you shouldn't drive anymore. And so she took that as gospel for her. And she didn't drive. Driving was her only way of free getting around. She could take the bus. She could have turned her heart into another direction. But she created herself being refused the driving license. And then she created herself having nothing more to live for and dying. Within several months after being refused her driver's license, she died. Now, there were complications of this and that and the other thing, but she'd had those things for which complications could have been there for many, many, many years, and they were not there. But when she had no desire to live anymore, when she had no motivation for doing anything, then she went. Joy is the bubble of caring and sharing. Mother could have well been active in the local religious science church. She could have well been active in doing many, many, many things. But she didn't. She didn't. She gave up. And when she gave up, there was nothing more for her to do except to die. When people lose their joy, their bubble of living, when they lose their caring bubble, they care for themselves and they care for their world, the next step is just to move on to another dimension. Now, many people do this. They do it with automobile accidents. They do it with illness. They do it with whatever the infinite number of ways there are to die. But they do this because they've given up. They feel they cannot bring back the luster that they once had had. They cannot bring back their reputation. They cannot bring back their life. They cannot bring back anything. And they give up. And when they do this, the joy of the bubble of caring and sharing is gone from their life. When we determine that we're going to give ourselves 100% to our world, and be a loving expression of peace and harmony and beauty for ourselves, to our world, then the joy is the bubble of caring and sharing that we are giving out. We are giving out the joy that is within us, and we will live a long, happy, fulfilled life. We must decide. Do we have the motivation to go on? Is our motivation one of joy, love, caring, and giving? If it is, then go for it. But if not, then forget it and die. What an improper note to end a talk on. Or live. Your choice. Your choice alone. I love you.